Welcome to another episode of You Both Suck. It's your boy, Kunal Arora.
And I'm Dara Pollock.
I am stoked to be here.
Me too.
And also to all those who have left reviews, who have rated and subscribed, thank you very much. To those who have not, this is your time to do so on Spotify, on Apple.
Well, you can't leave a review on Spotify, but you can rate it on Spotify and you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
And we love those reviews.
We do.
And if you enjoy the podcast, this is your time to do so.
Literally, I have so little. Okay. Let me have this.
Well, that's, I mean, I didn't think that she was going to say that, but I'm going to be... It's very upsetting to hear you say that, but nevertheless.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I will say you have been getting some stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm injured currently. Yes. Well, not really injured, but for those who can't see, I'm wearing like athletic tape on my wrist and my thumb because I get arthritis from being on my phone and from holding a camera. My hand is just forever in a claw shape is really what it is.
You picked me up from my apartment to come here to your place to do the podcast, and I'm just like, I was about to go into this tear about like how I feel like all my friends are like in a very bad place physically and mentally, and then I just see you taped up and you're like, my eye is killing me.
My eye, there was something in my eye for like an hour, and the girls will understand. I took off my mascara like twice. I put drops in. I was just like, this is so annoying. It looked like a Clockwork Orange, you know, like one eye was really big and the other one was small. It was just upsetting. So there's that. And
I got it. I was going to ask this, though. Mm-hmm. Do you think it had anything to do with the Botox?
No. Okay. Oh, yeah. So I get Botox. Right. Thank you for bringing that up.
No. Let's not make it seem like I'm out here just blowing up your spot.
I know.
Yeah, you post about it.
I do post about it. I am not shy or ashamed about it at all. I am pushing 40. I think I started getting it when I was 36, and that's even considered late, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because it's preventative to some degree. Yes. Like, if you're freezing your muscles, you can't physically... You know, you can't frown. Now you can't frown because I don't get it in that area. I only get it in my forehead and the crow's feet, like around my eyes. That's it. I really wanted it for these two right here, the 11s, they call it. That's the lines in between your eyebrows for the people listening. Those were the biggest thing that bothered me always for many years. And I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And then once you start, you just kind of
can't. Slippery
slope,
right?
You can't go back. But I haven't done anything else. I don't do filler or anything like that. And I go to this place called Peachy. It's great. They do like unlimited units for like a flat rate. And it's great. So why not? If it's going to make me feel better, like I'm here for it.
Listen,
you know
when I was younger, I used to judge about like this kind of stuff. And then like now, as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know, if this makes you happy, if this is not hurting anybody, who cares?
Well, so
live your life.
This is what I was going to say that annoys me a little bit, though, is like, and I realize before I say this that men mean it as a compliment.
Yeah.
But when I tell people, when I posted about this publicly recently, because I've shared it before, but this time I really shared a little bit more and I actually kind of showed.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
you, as somebody who had never really like seen all this, you walked me through the process in a lot
exactly,
of ways.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And I was just like, whatever, I'm not ashamed of it. But men, a few people, message me with the same thing. You don't need it. And I'm just like, okay, I know you mean that as a compliment and thank you.
Sure.
But you're not in my body. You're not in my face. And like, I don't like when I see those wrinkles. And if it's something I can do, like I said, that's minimally invasive. And even if it was invasive, like if it's something that makes you feel better, I just don't think there's,
you don't want to get like, you understand contextually they're trying to make you feel good. So you just go, what do you respond with?
I say thank you, but I disagree. Like I just literally say that. I go, LOL, thanks, but I disagree.
Sure.
And you know, like that's really all I would say. I don't get mad. I don't get snippy about it. Like,
that's good because you understand the intention.
I understand the intention.
Right. But it's just like, I guess the teachable moment here is like if a woman wants to do that with her or with whatever body.
My body, my choice.
Right. So it's like, let her do that. Like, if you, what would be the best way to, like, clearly a guy is using this as a tactic to.
Absolutely.
Right. So
to like, get in.
To
I
get
understand.
In. Right,
He's
right.
Using
so
it
get
as
that.
A. Yeah. I
yeah.
Get that.
So what would be the best way for the people that are listening? If somebody, like, let's say if I'm a dude and I'm single and there's a woman that I think is like, you know, good looking and she's getting a little Botox done. What do I say as a guy to impress this woman? Because clearly you don't need it isn't really the best response. But I want to know what would work.
You know. That's a very good question.
Right?
Also, I don't know that I would say anything. I feel like just saying nothing.
Let me try this on.
Okay.
What if a guy was like, oh, you're going to look so amazing after it? Would that be good?
Yes, but... yeah, that's tough too.
Right.
That's why I feel like you say nothing.
Can I?
I don't know. Right. I just feel, well, because here's the thing. Let me put it this way.
What if some guy's like, can I rub my face on your forehead?
That's just weird.
Okay.
But like,
I just wanted to throw an odd one in there.
I'm just thinking like from a realistic standpoint, I think in person. Mm-hmm. So remember, actually, I had some bruises.
Yes.
Remember, like initially, because yeah, it does bruise sometimes.
Yes, I know, but I know where this is going, and it's funny to me.
Yeah, and well, actually, do you know where it's going? We'll see.
We'll see.
So, I was going to bring up two things.
Sure.
The first was that when you came in after I got it done, like only a couple days later, and for those listening, it takes like a full 2 weeks roughly to kind of set in, and I'm about at that point right now.
Right.
And it's looking great. Thank you so much,
PG. It is. It's looking good. Yeah.
Shameless plug. But that day when you came in, you kind of stared at my forehead and you were just like, the forehead's looking good. It's looking good. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good compliment.
Yeah, okay.
But I also was like, it didn't take yet. So you're just complimenting my normal skin. So thanks, you know?
Yeah, I didn't know. I just wanted to be supportive.
Exactly. Right. But that's enough. Yeah.
And
that's,
then I also did point out, you got a lot of bruising there.
Well, you said I had gone on a date, I think the night before.
Yeah.
And you asked me if the guy said anything. And I was like, what guy in their right mind would point out bruises on my head?
I don't, a guy who's concerned.
No.
Yeah. Because if I'm a dude and I see you got mad bruises on your head, I'm going, yo, this chick's getting beaten. I got to say something.
That would be a really weird spot to have like a bruise.
I don't know. Maybe you're dating a tall guy who doesn't want a backhand too low. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
I felt like that was so crazy to suggest. I think I would be, I think, a little turned off if I had a bruise on my face and a guy pointed it out on a first date.
Yeah.
Nah.
All right. I guess that's not the move.
No.
Fellas, if she's got bruises, say nothing.
Assume it's Botox. Yeah. Say nothing.
Assume it's Botox.
Well,
yeah.
Imagine if, let's say it's similarly, if you have like a big beauty mark or something on your face or a mole, you don't want somebody to call that out.
No, it's the same shit. No, no.
A
mole doesn't go away.
Fair enough.
Bruises are there temporarily.
Yeah.
I can discern a bruise.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If somebody walks in with a black eye and your girl's sitting there with a black eye, yeah, maybe you ask even if it's a first date. But if she comes in with a couple of dots on her forehead in places like
Lesson learned.
Yeah. So I think that's my answer for that. And I would say, honestly, on Instagram, if you see a girl that you like that you think is hot and she got it done, I don't think I'd say anything.
Just keep it moving. Okay. Fair enough. I respect that.
Exactly. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. My phone was on and
that's
went off.
Egregious, but yeah. another one of these guys and the forehead's looking good. Yeah. No, these are things to know. Like, I didn't know any of these stuff, and this is all great. I'm sure people who are listening could benefit from this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also just speaks to the larger issue of social media and physical appearances in the first place. Like,
right.
If you tell people that you have any kind of work done, the immediate reaction is judgment.
Of course.
And I don't know why it's still at that point in this day and age. I feel like we've gotten so progressive in so many ways. And yet we're still out here judging women for getting Botox. I have friends who hide it from their boyfriends and their husbands.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And it's Botox.
Yeah.
Not even like plastic surgery.
Right. And even that. I mean, if it's going to help you, like, do it. I wish for a nose job every single day.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah, I guess... You know, the thing is, it's just like a lot of guys feel... Like, because they say those things, you don't need it,
sure.
Or what's the big deal? To us, we think we're being so solution-oriented here. And realistically, if we wanted to be supportive, I guess, what we should do is just shut the hell up.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
There's that. But also...
I honestly feel that's the biggest problem for guys in general when it comes to women.
Is just not shutting up.
Yeah. Like, I feel like most, and I've experienced this countless times myself.
Yeah.
Like, we talk ourselves into not getting laid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or out of getting laid.
Like, out of getting laid. Like, I remember one time this one girl, we hung out, and then it was like months later, and she goes, you know, if you had just like maybe had a few less drinks that night, I would have had sex with you.
Mm. Why do you get extra chatty and like judgmental when you drink.
Oh, I get mouthy. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a real problem. I was a mouthy broad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're still a mouthy broad.
I am still a mouthy, but now I'm at least I'm aware of what I'm doing.
Fair enough.
And if I don't know, I'm aware to apologize.
Okay. Got it.
But yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I didn't, and I feel like that's a huge problem with dudes. It's like, I'm in a relationship and I know I've talked my way out of getting laid. Like, I found a way to do it.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing though, because as you were talking about that, like when men are saying like, oh, you don't need it and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we're being judged for it, all that jazz. Do you think in any way it has to do with the fact that on some level, subconsciously, you guys are a little bit jealous maybe because men are like, you know, not supposed to get anything done. You guys can't even wear makeup. If you have a little extra bags under the eyes that day, you can't do shit about it without being made fun of.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think we think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a...
But...
Yeah, I do... it does suck as a guy, like, if you look a certain way.
That's
like,
it, you're fucked.
Yeah, wearing makeup. I remember a buddy of mine, he had looked, like, really haggard. He'd been run down, overworked.
Right.
And he was going to do this podcast, and it was it's a high-profile podcast. Right. And he was thinking, and, like, I think his girl, in earnest, was like, you should maybe wear some...
A little bit of cover-up,
right? And I was like, listen, this is a really good intention.
Okay.
Right here, right? Her idea is great. It's a great idea.
Okay.
But let us just keep it as an idea. Because if one person notices on that podcast that you're wearing cover-up, it's a wrap.
But don't you think that's a problem?
No.
Actors do it in movies.
That's a movie. You're playing
a
character.
You're on TV. You're on camera.
As a guy, you don't want to look so far from natural from what you really are.
Yeah, but again, how you've seen me without makeup. Are you going to tell me that it's like a night and day? Careful.
Let's get on to our hot takes, wild debates.
No, but I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're like somebody who doesn't do full glam, I would like to think that it's not a huge leap. It's not like you're going to see me in the street without makeup and be like, I don't recognize her.
No, sure. I'll be able to recognize you.
That's
absolutely
what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think that it's a slippery slope.
It's enhancing your features as a man.
I understand that, but I mean, this opens a door.
Men should wear makeup. I said it.
It's a Pandora's box, Dara.
I understand.
All right?
It'll
be never ending.
But so then maybe they're not jealous of it, but then maybe you just don't understand what it's like.
I will agree with that.
That, I think, is what it is.
100% we don't understand.
Okay,
good. 100% we don't understand.
Right.
That's why we say this nonsense. Yeah. That's why we go, oh, you don't need... I remember saying that to a girl when I was in my teenage years. Like, you don't need a nose job. And she was like... And it was like so backwards.
Right.
Because if this made her feel good, who cares?
Exactly. Right. At the end of the day, that's what matters. And I understand where men are coming from with this, or anybody who says that sort of stuff. Women say it to me too, but it's just like, if it makes me feel better, leave it at that.
Right.
You know? And also, on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Very true.
You know?
Very true.
So, yeah. Anyway.
All right. Okay.
We can move on now.
Yeah, forehead's looking great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
smooth.
It is looking good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, like, I can't really move my eyebrows.
I don't know what that's like.
It's fun. It's fun for me. I don't know. I'd rather this than have all the wrinkles.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. You know, go on. Do you, girl.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right. Now, I do want to get into this. I'm excited.
Okay. Hot takes, wild debates time.
Yes. All right. And you want to lead off with this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot take that's probably not even really a hot take, but it's that Seinfeld is the worst character on Seinfeld.
Absolutely. I started rewatching the show again.
Yeah.
And it's been, he literally just brings nothing to the table. And all he does is exacerbate other people's problems that they're already going through.
Like, I agree with that. I do think he has good... I mean, the writing of the show is great, obviously.
Phenomenal.
It's a great show. We're
Absolutely.
Not saying we don't like it. We love the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating to me. Every time I also will rewatch it, sometimes I'll just throw it on and I'm like, how is he such a bad actor?
Yeah.
Like, how is he? He's doing this all the time. For those who can't see me, he's always kind of smirking a little bit. Like how I do when I'm like about to laugh at something.
Yeah.
He's always smirking. It's a little like Jimmy Fallon on SNL. Same thing.
I think because he couldn't
He couldn't.
Because he was, I mean, you got to think about the talent he's surrounded by.
Sure, but
you know
at that
I mean?
Time?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure, Jason Alexander, I feel like he was in like a McDonald's commercial.
No, I understand. Yeah, but as George,
He's he's phenomenal.
He's so funny.
I know.
And like when Kramer busts in,
yeah.
So many instances where he's just like all those little notes. I think him having that smirk is the best he can do.
I understand, yeah, and but it's like, a wild thing, don't
when
you think?
Right, when Julia Louis-Dreyfus is so good in that show.
She's so good.
Every incredible. One of those three characters, if that, I mean, the fact that all he can bring it down to is a smirk, God bless him, but he does stink in the show.
Yeah.
Also, you know what's funny? It's like how when the characters sort of switch as to what's happening to them.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens is with Jerry, he goes, well, he's back, he's still at even.
Nothing, what do you mean?
Like, he said that, like, nothing ever, like, if he loses $20, he'll find $20.
Right.
His character never shifts in a dramatic way. And they had an episode about that, which is so self-aware of the show. Because they're like, everything stays the same with Jerry.
That's a good point.
And he blows.
Yeah, he does. I mean, like I said, it's still a great show, and it's still enjoyable with all of them, because I think the rest of the cast, like you said, is so friggin' good that they carry him, kind of.
Of course.
But it is funny that the show is named after him,
right.
And like, I just feel like he's the worst one.
Oh, you know what? I do.
As funny as he is, it's just not.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I do think that one of the things that I find... this part is like really exciting for me is that like after Seinfeld, it's almost like it became okay to dislike a lead character, because I've seen so many shows where that occurs, like Weeds. Uh-huh. What's her name? The person who, or the character's name is Nancy Botwin. She's the main character.
I never watched that show.
Yeah, people disliked her immensely.
Okay.
In Gilmore Girls, Lorelai Gilmore, she's the worst.
Yeah. Oh, Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes.
She's the fucking worst, and I love that show, but she's the worst.
I watched the show. Yeah. I don't think I watched all the episodes, but I watched most of them.
Okay.
But I'll say, you think even Charlotte. Better. Miranda.
All of them are literally them. Better. Samantha, they own who they are, and they know who they are. She's the worst. We could have an entire episode about Carrie Bradshaw. We won't do it now.
Right.
Maybe it'll be one day for the
Patreon.
But
that's what I'm saying. It's like kind of cool. It's like, also girls. Right?
Oh, yes. She's such a good point. Yeah, she sucks.
Stinks.
I hated Hannah.
Yeah, you can't stand Hannah. She blows.
Love Adam Driver in that show.
Right. All the other characters are fantastic.
Honestly, all the other characters are kind of sucky, too, if I'm
they
being honest.
They do suck,
but
they're interesting suck.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But that's a very interesting point. I never
also,
thought about that.
Also, How I Met Your Mother. Ted Mosby.
I was just going to say, who's the lead technically? Ted. Okay, yeah, Ted, that's right.
Right.
He is kind of a little bitch.
He blows.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, like Seinfeld made it cool almost in a way to be like, all right, well, the lead character blows.
Okay.
But the rest of these people are shining. Mm. And I kind of want to know if any of the viewers can name a show before Seinfeld.
Yes.
Where that was the case.
I was just going to say, because now you've got me thinking... Are there any shows that came before Seinfeld where I hated the main character?
Well,
I didn't like Home Improvement, so I'm going to throw that out and say.
Sure.
But I just didn't like the show.
You just didn't like the show.
It wasn't really like I loved the show. And yeah, that's a caveat, though.
Right.
What is a show that you loved? And meaning like you loved the show, you loved every character except the main one.
Right.
That is a good question. I'm thinking now. Wait. Okay, this is tough.
Yeah, I don't think I could
definitely
think of
not
one.
Golden Girls. They're the best.
They're
all of them.
They're all golden.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right.
They're all golden.
It's not three golden and one silver.
No.
Silver girl.
Silver and bronze.
Yeah.
No.
No. It's all the shows.
You're right.
Yeah. They're all even.
Interesting. I wonder if that became. I don't think it was done consciously, but I think that that's something that did happen.
It's a result.
It doesn't seem like a conscious decision.
Right.
Like,
no,
I don't think when they
not.
Were writing Carrie, they were going to be like, we want her to be insufferable.
Right. But I think that it's like this sort of opened the door for this to be a thing.
A thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might be onto something there.
So I want to see what the people think.
I do too.
All right. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we get into the submish
for
today?
Yes. Let's get into the submish.
I like saying submish.
I like it too.
It sounds like a sandwich at a deli.
It reminds me of mashed potatoes.
Really?
Mashed potatoes.
Really? It reminds me of like a Jewish deli sandwich. The submish. I don't know.
You know how long it's been since I've had a knish?
Ooh, a knish.
It's been a minute.
Same.
Yeah.
We should get
mustard
a
in there.
You gotta do mustard.
Gotta do mustard in
would
there.
Would you judge someone if they put ketchup on a knish? I think I would. That's horrible.
I would be okay with it.
Really? Is it because it's like a tater tot, a big tater tot?
It's a massive tater tot.
Do you hold it and pretend you're a giant and you're like, this is a tater tot?
100%. If they made miniature knishes,
yeah,
from like frozen miniature knishes,
yeah,
I'd eat that.
Do they? Oh, Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. You could tell.
Clearly.
Okay. We'll move on. All right. We ready? Squabble of the day. My boyfriend got divorced last year. We met shortly after his divorce and things got serious fast. He has an only child, 16 years old, and his divorce was not litigious. But when the ex-wife learned he was dating, she did all sorts of fuzz.
Great word.
We'll get to that. Called him to complain, spoke shit about him and me to the daughter, made a whole blown scandal when she learned I was coincidentally moving to her neighborhood as if she owned the piece of NYC. Now, a year later, she calmed down and decided she wants to meet me under the argument she wants to know who the daughter is spending time with. I really don't understand this as I really never hang out with the daughter. I'm rarely around when she's with her dad and prefer it that way as the daughter makes it clear she's not my biggest fan. Do I suck for not wanting to meet the ex-wife and preferring to keep my distance?
This is a, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a long submission.
No.
But it is juicy.
Yeah, it's not a long submission, but yeah,
it is
it's
juicy.
A meaty submission.
Yeah, this is a filet mignon of submissions.
Yes. You we're going to have to come up with like an award for like a meaty submission. We're going to have to come up with a name for
it. Oh, absolutely.
I'm working on it.
But yeah. I got to say this. I mean, first and foremost, if I may lead off.
You may.
I'm going to say this. You met shortly after the divorce.
Yeah.
Shortly after. All the red flags. Are you kidding me? I think that... Listen,
you don't know the details, man.
I don't know the details.
Could have been falling apart for years.
It could have been falling apart for years. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you, as soon as like this person's ready to sign these papers and get out, and then you're immediately dating this person, no. There's still time that needs to be out here. I don't buy into there not being enough time. Also, this person came from a relationship where they had a child that's 16.
Yeah.
So clearly that was a long relationship.
Sure.
That relationship had to have been at least 16 years and 9 months.
Well,
maybe.
We don't know.
It could have been a one-night stand, which is still 16 years.
Yeah.
But that's still a long amount of time. And you just show up right after the divorce? Girl. Girl?
I don't know.
Girl?
I think I disagree with you on
that. I understand you're going to disagree, but I don't know. You maybe have to evaluate your life because I find this messy, all right?
You don't know the details.
We ain't talking soccer players. We're talking messy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't think I agree. Just because like we don't know the details. We don't know what the divorce was. This could have been a completely loveless marriage for all you know.
It could have been.
And also, for all you know, it could have been one of those situations where he absolutely just felt ready. Like you had said this in the last episode about the wife dying.
That's different.
Okay.
That's different. And I still think I did say this also in the last episode that you need to spend that time by yourself.
Here's the thing though. I don't know if you know, but I have two people that I can think of in my life who met somebody after their divorce, literally a few months later. And it seems to work out.
Well,
I mean,
that's great that you know two people.
Okay, but it's also because how many people do I know who are divorced?
I mean, listen,
many.
Give
we're
it getting, time.
We're
give
getting
it time.
There.
We're give it time.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited.
Right. Yeah, so am I. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
So
we're
it's
getting
like,
to that age. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, off the top of my head, people who are around our age that are in that, you know, I just feel like it. You don't know. It depends for
I'm
everybody.
I'm calling it, and I'm saying I think it's more chancy than it is reliable. I think that more people should take a little beat. Take a minute. You know what I mean? Take a few months. Something.
It probably
maybe
was a
years.
Few months.
I would
it's
say years.
Shortly after
you know
the
what?
Divorce.
I would say take a couple of years.
That's insane.
Sit on the bench.
That's insane.
Work it out a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
You know, wonder why your marriage fell apart.
I'm pretty sure that it's not an easy decision for most people to get divorced.
It's not, but it's like after 16
I'm sure they thought
years.
About it. Yeah, but again, like I said, you don't know the details of what they were going through. So look, that's hardly the point of the submission anyway.
Sure.
So I would say let's not focus on that because we don't know the details.
Right, we don't. And I think that this is the thing. With this lady who's like now involved in this circumstance, you've got the mom, you've got the daughter, and now you're this new girlfriend. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, they're probably looking at you like you're a homewrecker.
To a degree. No, but see, again, you can't make that call. We don't know how they met. It might have been completely after.
Of course it could be completely after. But it doesn't mean that they can't not look at that person
okay,
like a homewrecker.
That's fair. As somebody who comes from divorced parents, I will say to a degree, I can see that.
Yeah.
However, the issue is more that the mom was actually talking shit.
Yes.
That's that's the problem.
No, of course. Listen, I'm not going to give excuses to the mom's behavior. Mm. You know, you're going to talk smack about your ex-husband's girlfriend.
Right.
And you're going to talk smack to your daughter, and this is eventually going to get back to her.
Yeah.
This is all bad behavior.
Yeah, that's immature also.
Absolutely. No, I'm not excusing it. Yeah. But I do think that she's not going to be presented in the best light here. The person who wrote in. Like, because these people have...
Clearly not.
Yeah, of course not, right? Because this is what's happening.
Right.
So I just think that you're walking into a lion's den.
Yeah, but it does sound like you're just saying that she should just about face and be like, ah, whatever, I don't need this.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to be
honest. Comes real easy from someone who's been in a relationship for 9 years.
Yeah,
you meet somebody that you like, who cares if they're fucking divorced and got
10.
A kid. I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I get it. But it just, it makes me think... how tough it is in these streets.
It is.
Ultimately, that's where my heart lies, right?
Remember last week when I had a date and I was like, oh, it went well. He just completely stopped, just completely fell off the face of the earth. He was giving friend vibes anyway, so it's fine.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, like, it's fucking tough out here, man.
I know, it is. It is, but it's just like, and I know it's difficult. And I know, of course, as a guy who's been in a relationship for almost a decade, sure, I get that. But I'm also saying, but it does, you should also still have to say it from time to time to somebody where you're like, listen, I don't think this is the best scenario a person to get into. You've done that to friends, right? Who are in relationships where you're like,
yeah, sure. But I mean, again, you got to just know what you're dealing with. If somebody's really into somebody, you're not going to convince them to walk away because it's messy.
Yeah, I get it.
Like,
I mean, this is where we get to say our piece in this situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, yeah. So anyway, move forward from that.
Okay. Proceed forward. First of all, before on the lighter side, the word fuzz.
Yeah.
Great word.
I've never heard this before.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, but you've never heard it either.
No, I know. I'm saying like just this submission brought it to life.
I want to use that in my day-to-day life now.
Okay.
She did all sorts of fuzz.
Yeah, I
love that.
You know what? Fuzz, fuzz to me is like a better, cleaner way of saying fuck shit.
Okay, but I also don't, who says fuck shit?
I say fuck shit.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Yeah, I do be saying
because to me, fuzz is the cops. That's what we used to call the cops. The fuzz.
Ah. Oh,
in
wow.
In like the 60s.
Right.
When I was born, apparently.
So rats, Dara, you got me.
Golly.
Yeah. So being such a square.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, was the mother doing like legally stuff? Legal stuff? Like what does she mean by she was doing all sorts of fuzz then?
No, she said that. She said, first of all, funny that you bring up legal. She said it was not litigious, meaning like it wasn't a lawsuit situation.
Right,
I'm assuming,
right.
Or they didn't have to go to court probably.
Sure.
You could like
still,
my parents' divorce was like that. They didn't have to like do anything legal.
But
like,
are there
like
not lawyers involved?
No, yeah, there are. I think when she said not litigious, I'm assuming it meant like they didn't have to go to court and it didn't get messy.
Right.
So that's why you saying it's messy. To me, it didn't sound like it was that messy.
Sure.
I don't know.
Right.
Also, when I think of an older kid, I do sometimes think of it as being like something that maybe just fizzled out, but also again we don't know,
right?
Not going to speculate on that part, but she said did all sorts of fuzz, like calling him to complain and talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fuzz part.
Right.
So that,
I mean, that's bad.
That's not okay. I mean, that's not okay to do. I think, you know, to me it sounds like, again, not having much context, but it sounds to me like the mom is the one who is hurt in this situation, or she probably wouldn't be acting that way.
Well, yeah, I think the way that she might be looking at this is like, listen, I literally just put this man out.
Yeah.
And now I haven't even walked back into my door and you've already taken him off the curb.
Yeah, but fuck that. Because honestly, you're done. Like, once you're divorced, you're divorced. Even separated in some cases, like if they're on their own, they're on their own. You can't be like, I still have a claim over this person just because we used to be together.
That is true. Points are points. I agree with that. Like, once you set it to the curb, it's no longer yours.
Literally, like,
another man's trash, another person's treasure.
Exactly.
Right. So, but I think that she's in her feelings because
absolutely,
it's like, I literally just threw him out. How's he already in a relationship? Whereas she may not be. And
I think maybe not.
Yeah. And I think that's probably what's really pissing her off.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Again, we don't know, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like for the woman who wrote in, does she have to sit there and put up with that and then meet the ex-wife?
Right.
I mean, I don't know if we're not at the point of judgment yet, but I do feel like we have to still talk about it.
Do you think that she should meet the ex-wife?
Yeah, absolutely. If this they've been dating clearly over a year.
Right.
So
right.
This has been a long enough relationship. That's why I'm saying, like, yeah, it might have been messy, whatever, when it first started. We don't know how long it was until he started dating her, but it said a year later or something. So they right. must have been together for over a year.
Mm.
And then if you're serious about this person, which I would imagine you are, if you're dating for over a year, what, you're just not going to meet the ex-wife ever? It's fine to keep your distance if this was like some kind of casual thing.
Right.
But otherwise, no, you got to be civil eventually.
Yeah.
You can't, and also, like, sorry, I can continue ranting.
No. I really didn't think that you would say that she should meet the ex-wife.
Yeah.
So I think that, and part of me is like, I understand wanting to keep your distance.
Yeah, I understand it too, but it's not realistic.
But you can't keep your distance.
No.
You can't be like Evita. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Argentina can cry.
That's a good song.
Thank you. Yeah, right? But I think that there might be, in situations like this, if you want to construct a family life in some which way, this ex-wife has to be part of the equation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the daughter's mind has already, in a way, been poisoned.
Well, that's the other thing, because she's like, oh, I don't really hang out with the daughter that much.
I don't really mean that. It just, you still do, though.
You still do. Yeah. And she also, there's a reason, and it's probably because, A, the mom is talking shit, mm-hmm. but also, if you're sitting around being anti-meeting the mom, that's not going to help your relationship with the daughter.
Very true.
And that's going to hurt your relationship with the man you're dating, in my opinion, eventually.
Yeah, and if you want to, like, kind of repair relations with the daughter in some which way, this would be the way to do it.
Meet the mom. Yeah. Be nice and be civil. I mean, you don't have to be overly nice, but absolutely I would.
It sucks to do this.
It's uncomfortable.
I don't want to give this advice.
Yeah.
I hate that I say that you should.
I agree.
But it, and it blows, because like this person is talk smacked about you.
Yeah.
Made a huge kerfuffle about you moving to the same neighborhood.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's also a little bit cray, though.
Yeah, like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's
but
absurd.
She doesn't own New York, so yes,
you're right.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's absurd behavior.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, created a has another person who's now talking smack about you right then and there, the daughter.
And yeah, and I understand.
And you're
all
supposed
that.
To swallow all that?
Yes.
This
know
is why?
Why
I'm always like, part of me is like, get away, girl. It's all messy.
I understand that, but then that would mean that nobody's ever going to date a divorced dad or mom, and
that's
fucked
true.
Up. Because at the end of the day, I think what it is the hierarchy is mom is up here, you're below the mom. I'm sorry, but like that's something I think you have to accept when you're dating somebody who has a kid and who has an ex-wife. I'm not saying that the ex-wife comes before you necessarily, but in a way, that is family. You're not getting away. This is not like a typical breakup where you can just be like, all right, I'm out.
Right.
They have kids together. You gotta try and at least make it work and make it civil for the peace of everybody.
Absolutely. No. No, you're right. You're right.
I don't like being right about it.
No,
I don't like that.
I don't like the fact that you have to now climb this uphill battle, which is another reason why I'm like, should you though?
Well,
but if you like, clearly you like this person.
Right.
So clearly you want this
you
to work.
You see a future if you do, if and you're it, listening to this.
Listen,
yeah.
But I think that like it seems very, to me, it's like, why climb this mountain when there are other less strenuous mountains?
No.
But if you're out there and this is what you got to deal with, and this is a person who you like, clearly they've given you something you want, then you got to swallow your pride.
Yeah, and it's not a situation. This to me, I'm sorry, that's not something to break up over.
No.
If it is, then you don't like this person enough.
Right.
Sorry.
Right, but
that's how I would see that. If you're just ready to walk away and be like, this is too much for me, then this is not the person for you. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that means this is not the person for you.
Yeah.
And you can't go and blame them. Because if you told literally, I think, anyone about this, I don't think anybody would be like, oh, yeah, you were right to never meet the ex-wife. You can't do that.
Yeah. And also, I think that this gives you an opportunity to kind of forge relationships with that daughter.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's 16.
And that's
16.
The first step. She's 16. Also,
there's like many years. She's got like, what, let's just say, give or take like 3 years till she goes to college or whatever.
Yeah.
Or till she's out of college. We're talking till 21.
21.
Yeah. So there's 5 more years in which you're going to have to deal with this kid.
Yeah.
And you should, in a way, make that kind of effort to kind of get along with this child.
Absolutely.
Even though she looks at you as a homewrecker.
I mean, probably does. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I had my dad remarried after he and my mom got divorced.
How long after, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, the marriage was like later, but I mean, he dated someone fairly fairly quickly after. Mm. I mean, not to make my dad look bad, because he's a wonderful father and he's great, and my parents actually get along amazingly well. Yeah, we're lucky in that sense.
The way that you talk about the fact that your parents both get along post-divorce is so phenomenal.
It's crazy.
It's like, I hear that and I go, more people should get divorced, but that's never the case. Honestly,
I have a very tainted view of it because my parents get along as well as they do. Like, they spend holidays together, mm-hmm. and like my dad, like we'll go to dinners together, all of us. And people always say that on my Instagram. They're like, I don't know how your parents are like this close still. And I'm just like, because of the kids. It's like, yeah. I was saying before, because they made it work. And my dad has always had, and he's not with that woman now, but yeah. he's had multiple girlfriends after that.
Right.
And he's proud of it. So,
sure. But yeah. it's like, they look past their own nonsense.
Yes.
And I think that's the real big takeaway here.
Right.
Is looking past your own BS.
Right.
And going, what's important here?
Exactly.
And in this situation, there's a 16-year-old girl who's like, kind of like, in a lot of ways, her stability sort of relies on this being in a good place.
1,000%. Also, I, you know, can speak about having divorced parents, but I was 4 years old when my parents split. I barely remember my parents being together.
Really?
So,
wow.
Okay. Yeah, I barely remember my parents being together. So it's like, being older, I think it's actually harder. People always talk about, oh, it's so sad they got divorced when you're young. No, I think it's actually harder when you're older and you're used to a very cohesive family unit.
Right, right.
I think that's worse. So this girl is probably really going through it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't sympathize with the person who wrote in. I think it's tough what you're dealing with as well.
Yeah.
But you're an adult. This is a teenager, and you've got to put on the big girl pants for both of you.
Right.
And you got to kind of suck it up. Like you said, you got to swallow your pride and look at the big picture and figure out what's important. And that is yo mans and the daughter.
Yeah, I really do think it's interesting how this mother sort of coin flipped about wanting. Like at first she was like very combative. Then she was out here talking smack in the streets.
Yes.
Then telling the daughter that, you know, your dad's girlfriend ain't shit either.
Yeah.
And then now she's sort of flipped in a way where she's like, I need to get to know you. And it's so, and it only makes me think that now, this is what I believe.
Okay.
I believe that the mom is now getting some on her own too. So this is why she's calmed down.
I didn't think that's what you were going to say.
Yeah. I think that she's calmed down. Yeah, maybe. That's probably what
it's
is.
It's possible. Yeah, she's like been, you know, getting some pipe. It's possible. She's been getting
de-downed and she's been...
Well, it could be that. Right. Or at the same time, it's that she also woke up and realized, hey, this woman is not going away.
Right.
And my daughter's in pain and I don't want to be this person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she had the, you know,
the epiphany. Maybe the mom wrote into another advice podcast and they advised accordingly to reach out to this woman.
Maybe.
And now here we are.
Well, if we're going to play that game, if we flip this around on its head, I would say the exact same thing. I would say you absolutely have to get to know the girlfriend.
Right.
Like, even if you don't know that the girlfriend is not going to be around forever, because you can always make that argument that the mom isn't going anywhere.
Sure.
Unless she dies, which we hope she doesn't.
Right.
But, you know.
Why would you say that?
I'm just saying, life is life. And death is a part of it.
Sure.
But like, the mom isn't going anywhere. She could be like, it's just a girlfriend. She could come and go.
Right.
But at the same time, if you've been around long enough, she might have just said to herself, okay, I need to... that's how I would advise that person to meet the girlfriend.
Yeah.
And just get it over with and try to be civil. It's the same advice on both sides.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we do it?
The judgment?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I hate to... Well, you know what? I was going to say... No, you know what? I'm going to stick with my original. I'm going to say you both suck a little bit because I don't agree with the mom shit talking.
Right.
Oh, wait a second. No, we forgot. We have our friend Katie from the Mother Octopus, who actually sent us a voice note through our voice note system, shameless plug, with her opinion on the situation because she went through a divorce and had older kids at the time. Mm-hmm. And we can play that right now, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hello, it's me, Katie, from the Mother Octopus, and I am calling in to weigh in on the ex-wife squabble. Being a divorcee and having been in this situation and still finding myself in this situation all the time, what I can say is it's not fun for anyone. Like, I get it. It's not fun to meet your lover's ex. And the only time you really have to do that and be around that person for a specific amount of time is when there's a child involved. And, you know, if you're getting into a relationship with someone who has a kid, I think you owe it to that person and to their kid to try to be civil around the ex whenever possible. And I don't think there's any way out of it. I mean, you don't really get to call the shots when you're entering a relationship with someone who is divorced, and especially if they have a kid. Chances are, if you're dating someone who's divorced and they don't have a kid, you're probably never going to have to meet the ex. Great, cool, clean break, awesome. Don't we wish it could always be that way? But unfortunately, when you've been married and you do have a kid, the reality is there is another parent involved, and you have to be respectful of that other parent. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. Have I been great at it? Absolutely not. But I think if you can't suck it up and fake it till you make it and, you know, just put on a smile and say hi to the wife, the ex-wife, for a few minutes, then you probably are not cut out to be dating someone who has a child, because this is just one of the responsibilities that comes with it.
Very true.
Yep.
Very true.
And that is kind of what we were saying before.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't want to do this, it feels like this person either doesn't mean enough to you, or you can't date somebody with a kid.
Well, I will say this though.
Yeah.
It's, you do have an easy out.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
yeah, you do have an easy out, yeah, if you wanted one. But yeah,
if you want an easy out, it's right there. Also, what if they share a pet?
Not the same.
Right, okay.
Sorry, dog people. All right. Enough.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I hate when I hear that when I go on a date. Yeah. I went on one recently and some guy was like, oh yeah, well, you know, we still share custody of the cat. I was like, that's enough. Just relax.
I'm going to say right now, custody of the cat, no.
Oh, but custody of the dog is fine.
Much different.
Get the fuck out of here.
Dogs,
I'm not
leave the house.
I'm literally not here. I'm not hearing
this. The cats stay in the same space.
Yeah, whatever. Dogs basically stay in the same place too.
I mean, you got to, they can live in multiple places.
Yeah, but they have one home ultimately. You're not going to want to have a dog shuffling.
You don't want to do that.
It's still the same. It's whatever. But anyway, back to Katie's point. She said one thing that I think kind of sums it up really beautifully, which is you don't get to call the shots when you're dating somebody with a kid.
Right. I sort of see that as like kind of freeing in a lot of ways too.
I 1000% see it as freeing. Like, I dated a guy with a kid a couple years ago and obviously didn't work out, but like, I was like so understanding of the times when he couldn't see me on a weekend because he had his kid. I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I also just am independent enough that I like doing my own things. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that it would be a problem eventually if it did progress. I'm sure it would. It happens to everybody. But I liked kind of knowing, you know where you stand in a way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Rank and file.
You know where your rank is and you're not ranking above the kid. And I always knew that in the back of my head. I was
also,
just like,
snack game got to be wild.
Oh, it was so tight.
Yeah.
I remember I was there once and I was just like looking through and I was like, M&M's? I don't remember the last time.
Nobody has M&M's.
People with kids have M&M's.
People with kids have M&M's. Yeah. Snack game nasty.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. Good times. But also, it never got to the point where it progressed far enough that I even got to meet the kid. Like, I didn't even push for that because to me, I know what a big deal that is.
I'm gonna be honest, if I had a kid and I was like a single dad and the girl was like, oh, I want to meet the kid,
no,
then I'm like, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out. Absolutely. There's no way in hell.
100%.
You're
can't
not going to
come
that
shit.
At me with that. Already the red flags, not only are they up, they're swinging wildly.
Absolutely.
They're waving like it's the Olympic Games.
Agree completely.
We are talking crazy town. Yeah.
No.
If you want to meet that's way.
That was not me. I was like, I am A-okay right here. You let me know.
right.
That was it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
As somebody who's dated somebody with a kid as well. Like, I don't know why I forgot about that relationship. It was a big relationship.
I was like, what was she, 19?
No.
How many years back we going?
This was 10 years ago. Like, yeah, it was like maybe 10 and a half, 11 years ago.
I forget how old we are.
Yeah, and it's like she had a kid, and I was just like, listen, whenever, you know, wherever, and that was it. And it was just like...
Did you ever actually meet the kid?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
oh,
absolutely. Like, there were times where she would have shows.
Okay.
And I would be at home with the kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd be like babysitting the kid.
See, and that's what I was like.
I will say this, though.
Yeah.
Video game play time.
Oh.
Phenomenal.
I'm like, I have video games now. Yeah. You know, I got to tell me
twice. I will say this, though. The one thing I do regret is I didn't handle myself properly when I lost.
I would talk so much shit to that kid.
I would talk so much shit. This is the thing, though. So would I.
Yeah.
But the problem is the kid was good.
Oh, okay.
She was beating me recklessly.
And it was a girl.
Yeah. That's the problem. I regret the way that I handled it, but she was kicking my ass so badly. I was a sore loser.
What game was this?
Like Mario Kart.
Oh, come on. That's our era, man.
We weren't playing N64 Mario Kart. We were playing like the Wii.
The next gen. Oh, no, you can't do that.
She was crushing me.
You got to meet us in the arena of our choosing.
I understand that, but she was like four at the time. She was like a prodigy. It was absurd. No. I was so upset.
No. Yeah, you can't.
That was one of my regrets. It's like, I should have handled that better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Yeah, with the kid, you can't force that kind of thing. So I think in a way, you should also look at this as like a good sign. Like the fact that somebody wants you to meet their kid, be involved in their life.
They're also taking you seriously now.
110%. Like I never got to meet that guy's kid because we were not that serious. It was like a 2-month relationship.
Yeah.
And I would not expect to meet the kid after that.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I was that kid, I come home and I see a bunch of my snacks are missing. I'm going to be talking mad smack. I'm going to be like, I don't know who this chick is. She needs to go.
Listen, anybody who dates me has to know your snack game got to be strong.
That's
I don't
fair
care
enough.
If you got a kid or not, but you're going to be missing some snacks.
Absolutely. This is what Tara do.
This is what I do.
Yeah, trash Tara raccoon do. From Queens coming at you, here to steal all your snacks and food.
Haters going to hate.
Yeah, that's what Haters happens. I get it. I respect it.
Anyway.
All right, shall we make this judgment?
I think so.
Okay.
So I am going to say that they both suck because I just feel like the mom, I understand you're in your feelings and you're talking shit, but that's not cool either. That's immature as hell.
Right.
But to the woman who wrote in, look at this in the positive light. These people want you in their life and they want to meet you. I think that's actually a bigger deal than we even made it, you know?
This is the thing. They've come out with the olive branch.
Yeah.
And they put away the sword.
Yes. Good point.
And I think that sort of is important to consider. And I think the fact that they did that, sort of, it seems like on their own in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I think that it requires you to take that olive branch.
And I think so too.
You would suck if you did not.
I agree.
And the mom does suck, but you know, this is what happens.
Yep. So I think you both suck.
Fantastic.
All right. Yep. Well, to close out this episode, you wanted to discuss something because we don't have a segment at the end today.
Right. But so this is what happened. I go to a restaurant. Okay. Dean and I go to a restaurant and we were eating at this place. We go there for like breakfast.
What kind of place is it?
It was like a breakfasty lunch spot.
I love a cafe.
A cafe,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like known for like their breakfast pastries.
Yum.
And sandwiches and stuff.
You're getting me on a good day because I'm hungry. So this is a good topic.
But
for
we
me.
Walk in there and they go and the server tells us right off the bat. Because we go, they're like, what do you want? We're like, she ordered a latte. I ordered a coffee. And we go, do you have like milk? Like, you know? And she goes,
regular milk?
Regular milk.
Okay.
She goes, we don't have regular milk.
Where is this place? It's in Greenpoint or Williamsburg, 100%.
Greenpoint.
Yep. I know it.
I'm going to say this. Okay. Now, you don't have regular milk. And it's just like, so the next question is, do you normally carry it? That's what we asked.
Okay.
But that's what we asked. Like, do you normally carry it?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, we just don't have any.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm going to tell you right now. Let's put away like these foo-foo places in Greenpoint and Williamsburg and wherever.
Okay.
And all these hip places that go, we don't do dairy milk anymore.
Sure.
Well, I'm just talking about if you do and you don't have any, you got to get. There's no excuse to be a breakfast place and not have cow's milk.
Yeah.
And then this is the part that really rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the barista came over and he was like, we have milk. Why does the server not know this?
Well,
there was at no point that this milk magically... I watched the door of the place to see if the milk was brought in.
The server was probably an idiot and just didn't know.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is not information you withhold or not know. This is... When it comes to morning places to eat
that
serve coffee, your three vital things... is the dairy milk?
Yeah.
Is the almond milk? And maybe even a third if we're going to get frou-frou about it.
First of all, it should be oat milk.
Right. Oat was fine. Oat is what they have.
Before almond, but
sure, whatever. Irrelevant to the kiss situation because I'm including both here.
Okay.
I just think that if you're going to run a place that's a breakfast place, these are non-negotiables.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's like not having sugar. I really think so.
First of all, you know how many places don't have sugar?
Also unreasonable.
Okay, but
also
dude,
unreasonable.
This is the problem when you have these Queens roots,
yeah,
and you're living in Greenpoint.
I understand.
You have to know where you are, bro.
No.
I haven't seen cow's milk in a fucking year.
I understand. Listen, I get that. I would get that if I was in a place that didn't serve it to begin with.
Yeah,
then I understand.
But dude,
when you don't have it and you normally have it,
yeah,
then you should have
okay,
it.
But I mean, again, coming as somebody who works with restaurants, the one day when they happen to be out of it, I don't think it's like
this,
as ridiculous.
I'm not asking you to dig up plutonium.
I understand.
I'm asking you to send someone out to run and get some milk. This isn't a wild request.
That's crazy.
I think that's crazy.
You expect somebody to leave their shift at work and go run across the street and get you milk? Who the hell are you?
Someone to this is breakfast era food.
Have something else.
Let me tell you.
Have half and half.
They didn't have half and half, I asked.
That's a little weird.
See? Okay, then.
Oh, but also, wait, yeah, we're lying. They had it. The server just didn't know that.
Which is also egregious, too.
Well, the server being an idiot is hardly the first offense you'd ever hear in the service industry.
I understand that. Service,
that's crazy.
Right. I get that. But it's like, I'm willing to let that go. But the fact that you should, if the dairy milk or any, the oat or the almond runs out when you are a breakfast, I'm not even saying about dairy. I'm saying all the
milks.
You know,
I understand what you're saying, but yeah, hang on. So then on the other end of it,
yeah,
if you go to a breakfast place,
yes,
and you sit down and you're like, I'm eating here, I don't care, no matter what, and you want coffee and they say, we don't have coffee, you're not going to just be like, all right, I'll get a tea or something. I mean, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. I'm a coffee person in the morning, but I mean,
am I not allowed to be upset? It's frustrating.
You want somebody to run across to the bodega and get you one?
Chock full of nuts ain't that expensive, sweetheart.
That's the coffee that I use. Okay. Represent.
Yeah.
Original New York 1932.
I just had some the other day. Lovely.
Chock
but
full
I'm
of
saying
nuts
like, that's the, it's
but
not
no
that
one's
hard.
Gonna, but that's a crazy request.
This is your part of the job. If you're a breakfast place, you must have tea. You must have coffee.
Yeah,
you
I
must
understand
have
that,
creamers.
But it happens.
Or, yeah, no, I think that you have to take, you got to send the
no,
weakest link
nuts
out. You send the weakest
that's
link
crazy
out and you go, listen, pick up some milk.
If they said to you, we'll send somebody across the street to the bodega for an extra $2 to get you that coffee or milk, would you be like, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are willing to pay for it, I think that makes all the difference
I'm
in the world.
I'm willing to throw a couple bucks extra.
Okay.
Do you think it's going to reflect in the tip? It'll reflect in
sure
the tip.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say, because okay, I feel like then it's still an insane thing to request.
I don't think it's... I want to know what the people think.
I would love to know what the people
because
think.
Because I think that when...
I'm just thinking, like, how many times you go to a restaurant and they're out of stuff? I mean, it fucking happens.
Okay. Put it this way. I understand a restaurant being out of stuff.
Yeah.
But let's say you walk into a pizzeria.
Okay.
And they go, hey... We don't have any mozzarella cheese.
Oh, I knew you were going to come up with something insane.
Yeah,
that's not the same.
We're out of mozzarella. No, to me, it is the same. It feels the same.
Bro, you're not going to go putting cheddar on a pie and being like,
they might as well.
They
might as well. They might as well. It's just as egregious.
You never drink coffee or tea with other milks. You only do whole or whatever.
Or whole or regular.
2%.
Yeah, whole or two.
Some shit.
Yeah, whole or half and half. Yeah.
You don't ever drink a plant milk? I don't fucking
believe
this.
I'm telling you right now. Let me tell you.
I don't buy
begrudgingly
it.
Begrudgingly.
Okay, but you do drink it.
Begrudgingly.
If you have to.
If I have to.
This is a have to moment.
Not
I want to know what
the
people think.
To the vitalness of this.
No.
All right?
I disagree. If you have to, this is a have to moment.
I don't
However,
think I think it's, if you want, if this is the service industry, serve us.
I mean, that's fair, but you also right pay them to serve you. So if you're going to throw a few bucks to the kid in the back who's like, you know, restocking shelves, okay?
Yeah.
He runs across the street to the bodega and gets you milk.
Yeah.
And okay, fine.
Okay.
But I think otherwise this is a you have to moment and you begrudgingly drink some fucking oat milk and show some respect.
I think when it comes to the place that is what they do as a specialty, certain things are non-negotiable.
Trust me, I've been very pissed in situations like that where you go into a place and it was like, oh, I'm trying to think, where did I go? It was something like this where I walked in and I just remember going like, really? You don't have XYZ? I think it was like a chocolate chip cookie.
Right.
And I was like, really? Of all the cookies you have, that's the one you don't have? And they're like, well, it is our most popular. And I was your mom is the most popular.
Can I just say this? To quote this movie that I saw years ago,
yeah,
where this old man says, you must demand to live a better life. Don't be content to merely survive.
I mean, that's fair.
All right.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Let us know. Okay.
Let us know what you think.
Also, yeah. Mm-hmm. We follow the podcast.
Yes, follow the podcast. Leave a review. Oh, share. You know, you tell the people. You're so much better at telling them what to do. That doesn't sound threatening.
I'm gonna tell you right now, or almost alarming in your case. All right. Listen, you've made it this far. I'm gonna tell you this: share the podcast, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast.
Tell a friend.
These things make a difference. If you can't tell a friend to tell a friend, then you can do those things.
I agree.
All right, those things are free. They cost you nothing. If you're not the big promotional type person, then do those things: rate, review, and subscribe. If you are that type of person that likes to tell a friend to tell a friend, then do that. Share a clip. We've got TikTok clips coming out. We've got Instagram clips coming out. These things make a difference.
Amen.
Dara and I are approaching 40 at breakneck speed. Okay? We don't...
Yeah.
We begging should be beneath us.
I agree.
It should be, but it's not.
This is us demanding a better life.
This is us demanding a better life. And really, this costs you $0.
Agreed.
Not a red cent for you to do these types of things.
Yep.
All right? And she is cracking her knuckles because she wants to make a threat. But she's going to let me do the speaking because we agreed to it right now. So do those things. Help us out where you can. It's all much appreciated and much love.
It's all love, baby. Yeah. Exactly.
And where can they follow the podcast?
At You Both Suck Podcast. Our submission form is on the link in our bio on Instagram. The voice note that we played earlier from our friend Katie, it's the same way that you can leave a voice note for a submission.
Which we will not play.
Yeah. This was a special case. I literally reached out to Katie once I read that submission and I was like, I feel like you'd be a good person to weigh in on this and this is a good way to do it.
Absolutely.
But we won't play your voice notes, so no one will hear your voice. We'll transcribe so you don't have to worry about that. You'll still be very much anonymous. And that's pretty much it. I am at Dara Pollock.
I'm at All Day KCA.
And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.